Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Rita Houck Lane here. Once again, I'm very happy to be here with you all. I want to take a second, though, to thank you for keeping this radio ministry alive. You're doing a mighty work for the Lord with your prayers and donations, and we're very grateful. You know, the world is full of bad news and things that upset us, but, you know, we're here to try to make a difference, to make some light and beauty in the world, and you're our partners for that, and you are the ones who really bring this to be. So may the Lord bless you all very richly in our time together today. I want to just share a little bit of my heart with you. I'm very, very new at this. I've only done about 5 or 6 shows, and the Lord called me to this in a very unexpected and very obvious way. He literally had Kathleen McCarthy and I run into each other at a restaurant, and that set the whole process going. And it's been quite a remarkable journey for me. I knew he was calling me to something, but I never in a million years imagined he was calling me to do radio or anything else like this for that matter. But I'm grateful to be here. And I ask you to pray for me because I want to be here in a way that will, speak to your hearts, you know, share the Lord with you and speak to your hearts. It's what I'm made to do. And I guess he's called me to this because I've had a very unusual life in some ways. I've lived on all 3 coasts of the United States. I've had a number of different types of jobs and things, and I've had tremendous, wonderful spiritual events in my life that have led me to this, and I'm just very grateful to be here, and just pray for me to be the instrument that he wants me to be, and I pray that I will be a blessing to you, because you're certainly a blessing to me. There's a few things I'd like to bring up today and share with you from my heart. You know, it seems like ever since COVID, the COVID shutdown, and, you know, I should say the pandemic came, we all seem to be very unsettled. We seem to be almost like not sure of who we are anymore, or what's happening in the world, and what makes sense, and all that sort of thing. And I can tell you that everybody seems to be suffering from that. However, I do know that the people that I know at my church and myself, who have steeped ourselves in the Word of God and prayed a lot, have a lot more peace of mind than some of our friends who have not. It's not the case for everybody, but it's definitely made a difference for me. And I just want to share a few things with you today. The first thing I'd like to share with you is about Jesus. I read a report, I think it was the Pew Foundation did a survey a few years ago, and I read it then, and it stuck with me in my heart. They went to college campuses, both secular and religious college campuses. No, actually, it was secular college campuses around the country. And they gave out a questionnaire and asked Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know Jesus? You know, what do you know about Jesus? And 80-some percent of those students had either not heard of him at all or had heard of him but really knew nothing about him. I was so shocked by that, because when I was growing up, that was not the case. Even non-believers knew who he was and what it stood for and all that sort of thing. And things have just really changed. That made me sad, because he's been essential to my life. I've been through a lot of horror in my life, and maybe someday I can share some of that with you, but I really have. But because I had, you know, Jesus Christ, the Lord, in my life, I've made it through it all in a way with actually quite a lot of joy in the end. But I want to, the last sentence of today's gospel reading at church, at Mass, mentions, the very last sentence of the gospel mentions believers as children of light. Children of light. I love that. Because it's multidimensional. You know, Jesus proclaimed that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. Well, that's making us children of light. So I wanted to share with you a few scriptures. In the Gospel of John in chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then, speaking of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John wrote, "He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Then Jesus himself again said in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, it says, you believers are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, "Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world." One of the things that I have, I'll share a story about myself in a little bit. I just wanted to finish up here. But believers in Jesus Christ are plugged into Jesus already. And we have the power to be lights in the world. We already have that power. But are we using it? You know, Mother Teresa used to say, we are like, we need to be plugged into Jesus the same way that an electrical appliance or whatever needs to be plugged into the outlet in the wall. Because when you're plugged into Jesus, then you have power, his power coming into you and making you strong and lifting you up and helping you. And when he helps us, then we can help others. All right? So when believers who are plugged into Jesus already have the power to be lights in the world, you folks out there, you believers out there, are lights in the world. So Let's ask ourselves, are we letting His light shine through us? This means an active life of faith, not something on the back burner. The world is desperate for real Christians, people who really live it, breathe it, and eat it. Gandhi told Mother Teresa one time that if all the Christians in the world truly lived their faith, there wouldn't be any other religion in the world, because no one would be able to resist it. So what does that mean for us? First of all, we have to know our faith, and the way we know our faith is by studying scripture, you know, the Bible and scriptures, praying a lot for enlightenment and that sort of thing. And everything that we do is for love of God and our neighbors, all right? We're empowered by prayer, confession, the Holy Eucharist, service, etc. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I was raised by an amazing mother. We were Southern Baptist, and she believed in Jesus, and she quoted scripture, and she taught me everything under the sun, you know, about faith. And she was a beautiful woman. She radiated Jesus Christ. And so I was always a believer, but I didn't always live it. All right, especially when I got to be 18 and decided that I wanted to do my own things and all that sort of thing. And, you know, I would still pray every night, and every morning I would read my Bible, and especially scriptures that are encouraging, because that if I was down, the scripture would lift me, you know. If I was misbehaving, the scripture would correct me, you know. So it was a good relationship I had. But when I got into my 30s, I got busy with my career, busy with friends, busy with this person, that person, everything under the sun, and I quit going to church. And for about 6 years, actually. And I didn't realize it, because it's a subtle thing. I got very worldly. I was using this book on intercessory prayer, and in the back of it, it had something to pray for every single day, and that was a little different in addition to your regular prayers. And one day it said, you know, pray that, you know, you don't succumb to evil. Pray that if there's any wickedness in you, so to speak, it's an old-fashioned word, but it's still a good word. If there's any wickedness, any badness in you, that the Lord will reveal it to you so that you can, with His grace, turn away from it. Well, and I remember, like it was yesterday, I was sitting there at the table, and I thought, well, you know, things aren't so bad. You know, I can't think of anything that I do that's wicked, and, you know, and my friends are pretty cool and nice, and you know, we don't steal, you know, all those kind of things. But I said, well, you know, it says to pray for it today, so I will. So I prayed for it. And it was not only about any wickedness that might be within myself, but also, you know, wickedness that's out in culture and, you know, in the world and that sort of thing. And, you know, things are a little different now, but back then, the world was a much calmer place. I mean, there was still plenty of stuff going on that we shouldn't be doing, plenty of it, but and there wasn't as much unrest and division as there is now. So I looked around, I said, well, yeah, the world's not so bad. Things aren't so bad, you know. But I prayed the prayer, and I meant it. You know, I really did. You know, Lord, hey, show me if there's any wickedness in me or anything that displeases you in me, and help me to turn away from it. And show me you know, hey, is there some, are there things in the world that I, that are not good and that I need to be praying more for and maybe standing up for against or whatever? And I will tell you, try praying that prayer, because wow, did he open up my eyes. I saw things in my own life that, you know, were shocking. Even though they were little things, they were subtle things that were really not good. And then he opened my eyes to the evil that was in the world, you know. Again, subtle little things, but could end up really big and not good. And I realized that part of the reason that I fell into that was because I hadn't gone to church in years. When we're separated from believers in church, the culture has a great effect on us, but it's in such subtle little steps and ways, we don't realize it, okay? And that I woke up then, and I started going back to church. And wow, what a difference it made then and has made ever since. So I just want to encourage you. The church is full of flawed people and people that you're going to encounter, people that hurt your feelings, or priests or pastors who don't have time for you or something. There's going to be something that you're going to encounter at church, and it's not going to be good. But that's not the reason that you're there. You are there to be nourished by the Word of God. And if you're Catholic, to be nourished by the Holy Sacrament, and to grow in your relationship with Him and thank Him for all the good that you have already. You know, please, please take it from someone who's been out in the world, here, there, and everywhere, that it's the answer to so many problems and so many questions in the world. But anyway, getting back to being lights, there's a lot of ways to grow in your faith, and one of the things that we can do by grace of God, by it through our prayer lives, is imitate Jesus. Ask Him to help us to have His heart, have His mind, have His sense of needs in the world, and to act on them. And then we can also learn from the saints, all right? And St. Paul, if you're not Catholic, I want to encourage you, because St. Paul, in many verses, told believers to learn from Him and imitate Him as He was an imitator of Christ. So it's perfectly okay to read books about saints, to learn about their lives and how they responded to the calls that God gave them, and what are some of the ways that they drew closer to the Lord and to people in a way that was constructive and good, and led to their sainthood. Absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. Now, obviously, I have studied, you know, as some of you know, I've studied Mother Teresa for years and years and years. I'm no Mother Teresa, and God doesn't want me to be Mother Teresa, but I sure have learned a lot from her. So please, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, St. John Paul II, there's thousands and thousands of them. St. Therese of Lisieux. Get books and, you know, Google saints and look up some of them and find out, find a saint that has something in common with you. And then, you know, read a little book on them and ponder and find out if there's anything you can learn from them. It's really a rich resource. We do not diminish Jesus in our lives by studying and learning from the saints. We become better lights for them, okay, from them. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of small sweet ways to be lights in the world and shine in the darkness. When I was here 2 weeks ago, I told you about, you know, don't curse the darkness, as St. Francis says. Light a candle. The world sometimes can look very overwhelmingly dark, and in some ways it is. But if you shine your light, if you be that instrument of light that God wants you to be, you can be seen for miles around in a little different way than a candle, but we spread that beautiful light of Christ by living true Christian lives. So one thing I would like to do is I'd like to focus a little bit on Mother Teresa, because, first of all, Saint Mother Teresa, I call her Mother because I have worked with her religious sisters in Chester, Pennsylvania for 23 years. God changed my everyday life through her teachings and work. And anyway, if you don't know who she is, Google her, search for her on the internet, Saint Mother Teresa. In fact, a really good website is motherteresa.org, motherteresa.org. So I want to share a little bit about her, and I probably will in every show that, if God willing, wants me to do, because she is the saint of our times, and I know that the Lord sends extraordinary people at various times in history to wake us, wake the people of the church up, both the leaders and the laity, wake us up to what we might have lost in our everyday life and culture. So Mother came along, and she really, really changed my life. So I have to share with you. Following the Gospel of Luke from Mass on Monday, there was in the Magnificat devotional book, there was a meditation of the day. And I want to share it with you. I want to read it to you because it was written by Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And it speaks so much about what I've learned from her and what we all can learn from her. It's all God-centered. It all has to do with Jesus Christ and her response to Jesus. So here it goes. The love that leads to resurrection. Today, besides poverty, material poverty, that makes people die of hunger, die of cold, die in the streets, there is that great poverty of being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, having no one to call your own, having no one to smile at, and sometimes it happens to our old people whom we call shut-ins. They are the poorest, are nobody. They are just there. They're unknown. They are unknown by the number. They are known by the number of the room only, but they're not known to be loved and served. When I pick up a person from the street hungry, I give him a plate of rice and a piece of bread. I've satisfied him, his hunger. I have removed that hunger. But a person that is shut out, that feels unwanted, unloved, terrified, the person that has been thrown out from society, that poverty is so hurtful and so much, I find that very difficult. There are many, many people, old people, crippled people, mental people, people who have no one, nobody to love them. They are hungry for love. And maybe that kind of hunger is in your own home, your own family. Maybe there is an old person in your family. Maybe there's a sick person in your family. Have you ever thought that in your love for God, you can show by maybe giving a smile, maybe just giving a glass of water, maybe just sitting there and talking for a little while. There are many, many in rich countries. There are many ignored, many forgotten in rich countries. The Missionary of Charity Sisters have found quite a lot of people who have forgotten what is love, what is human love, because they have no one to love them. And so begin to give the joy of loving, first in your family and next door neighbor. There is hope, great hope, because Jesus is there, no? That's the cross. He's alive and he loves us and he wants us. That's why Jesus made himself the bread of life, to satisfy our hunger for love. And then he makes himself the hungry one, so that we can satisfy his hunger for human love. But we cannot see him, we cannot touch him, therefore he makes himself. And this is a quote from scripture she used all the time. I was hungry, I was naked, I was homeless. So that you and I can touch him, can feed him, to love him in the poor. And that's how the poor become the hope of salvation to mankind. Okay. That's Mother Teresa. Basically, some people thought that Mother Teresa was just, just one of many social workers kind of person, that she just helped the poor and that sort of thing. But in reality, she loved Jesus, and she wanted to do for Jesus what other people weren't doing very much at the time, the average person. So she was called to the streets. She took care. She picked people up off the streets of Calcutta, dying people with no one, and she started this whole movement of people that went all the way around the world. She has sisters, religious sisters, nuns all over the world, and volunteers all over the world. So I just want to, I wanted to share that with you, and then I'll share some of my experiences while I've been working with her. That opened my eyes to the poverty in the Western world and the richer nations, opened my eyes to see people around me in a different kind of way, and just become more aware of what was going on around me. So I really encourage you to look into saints. Read your Bible. Go to church. I know some people don't want to hear that because it's not, you know, the popular thing to do in some places. In other places, it's the only thing to do. So, because it's real popular, people have refound the beauty of being in church. And I just want to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to take a break pretty soon. And I'll be back, so please don't go away. I really want to share with you some of the wonderful things that I have learned from Mother Teresa. So thank you very much, and God bless you. See you in a minute.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, welcome back. This is Rita Hauk-Lane, and I've been talking, been sharing a little bit about how we are called to be lights in the world. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And it's very true, folks. So I'm sharing a little bit about that. I'm also sharing some of the ways that we can be light in the world. And one of those things that we can do is study saints and learn from them different things that might apply to our lives to help us be lights. And I've been talking about St. Mother Teresa, who I've volunteered with her nuns and sisters in Chester, PA for 23 years. And I just wanted to share a little bit about how studying her has opened my eyes. So anyway, I'm a graduate of the Archdiocese Church Ministry Institute that is a program that they run at the seminary. I don't know if they still do. I hope they do, because it was, you know, a couple of years of intense training for people who wanted to work for the Lord. And so I took the classes and graduated from that, and it was invaluable to me. But in one of the classes, Father Maslach was teaching us, and he mentioned, I don't remember what the class is, I've got the notes, but I remember him mentioning how it was, you know, being Catholic Christians, how can we go down to the cathedral in Philadelphia and there's homeless people all over the steps, and just step over them and ignore them? And I had just been at the cathedral and saw that. These days, they don't let the homeless lay around on the steps like they used to, because they knew that Christians would give them money. And they were right. You know, they would get a lot of money there, and I didn't blame them because they needed help. I did notice how we just kind of walked around them and stepped over them and all that sort of thing, and nobody really engaged them. And when he said that, I realized he is right. We should not be doing that. But I didn't go back to the cathedral for a while after that. But I can tell you, I read something that Mother Teresa wrote, And I'm going to read it to you because it opened up my eyes. First of all, I set the stage a little bit because I have a book of quotes of hers. But I read in the whole story. She and a number of people, including priests and media people and everything. She was in the United States. She was in London, I'm sorry. And they were walking to this event. And she looked over and saw this homeless man over, you know, in the corner there, so to speak. And she stopped and went over to him, and everybody else kept walking because they didn't see him. But that's what I'm talking about, having eyes to see. Okay, so here's what she said. One day I was walking down the street in London, and I saw a tall, thin man on the corner, all huddled up, looking most miserable. I went up to him, shook his hand, and asked him how he was. Then he looked up at me and said, "Oh, after such a long, long, long time, I feel the warmth of a human hand. Oh, after such a long, long, long time, I feel the warmth of a human hand." And he sat up. There was such a beautiful smile on his face because somebody was kind to him. Just shaking his hand had made him feel like somebody. For me, he was Jesus in a distressing disguise. I gave him the joy of being loved, the feeling of being loved by somebody. Somebody loves us too, God himself. Well, after I read that, it changed a lot for me. So after that, I was down in Philly a lot for the Archdiocese and various other events, and even personally, just going down there for dinner or whatever. And I decided, well, I'm going to take water with me and a little care package. And I'm gonna, the people that were with me did the same thing. And we would give them, you know, maybe $5 or $10 to go get something to eat if they'd like. But it was in a little bag with a little card in there that, you know, Jesus loves you and so do I, that sort of thing. So we went down multiple times. This happened many, many times. And I met some of the most extraordinary people. I would go up to them and I would say, "Hi, my name is Rita. And do you mind if I ask you what, may I shake your hand?" And they would look at me like, "Oh, yeah, sure," you know, and I would shake their hands and I would start talking to them. And before I would walk away from them, I would say, "Do you mind if I ask you your name? And I'll put you on my Bible study prayer list." And I only met one person that didn't like that. Everybody responded beautifully. And I loved talking to them. I had so much fun talking to them. It was amazing. And you know, other people that I knew were doing it too. And it was just a wonderful thing to spend time with them, get to know them, and not just see them as a huddled person on the street. You know, they're real people with, you know, love in their hearts for other people who need to be loved, who need to be listened to, need to be touched. So I took the bus for the March for Life with a bunch of my friends years ago. And in Washington, there's plenty of homeless people. And so, of course, we were going around and we were shaking hands and getting to know them and all that sort of thing. And there was this one guy named Peter Joseph. And we ran into him on the way to a Union Station before we were leaving town. And he was extremely intelligent. And we just talked and talked and talked. And he was just delightful. And we had to catch the train. So eventually, I guess we probably spent a good 15, 20 minutes with him. We said, "Oh, sorry, we got to go." And of course, I got his name so I could put him on the prayer list. And we started walking away, and we got about 25 feet away from him. And he said, "Hey, just remember, Some people entertain angels without knowing it. Well, we all looked at each other and it was like, wow, what just happened? Is he just saying that? Or did we just encounter an angel in human form? Because they can take human form. I don't know. But he was delightful and he went on our prayer list. But that was, it was just a nice little icing on the cake encounter from him. There was another time I was in New York City before the 9/11, and we were in the World Trade Center in the towers and walking around town and all this sort of thing, and we went down underneath the towers to go catch the metro out of town, and there was a homeless man on the steps down there, and I stopped and encountered him, and we talked, and he was just the nicest man. And before we left, I don't remember which of the many names I have of the homeless people that he was, but I shook his hand before I left, and I said, God bless you, and he says, God bless you too. I mean, just, it's like the most amazing encounter. And when the towers fell, I was praying with my whole heart that that man was not down there. And I still, it brings tears to my eyes today, thinking that maybe, just maybe, he was down there. I pray that he wasn't. Anyway, and then there was Kate, a runaway on the streets. She was sitting, you know, on the sidewalk. And I walked over to her and I started talking to her. And I said, do you mind if I sit down with you? And I sat down with her and we talked and talked and talked. And I went back 2 or 3 days in a row to see her because she was delightful. She'd had some issues with her parents and had run away from home, and she was sleeping on the streets, you know, and it was just awful. She was an adult. She was in her early 20s, but it just broke my heart. I tried to get her to come with me to stay somewhere off the streets, but she didn't want it. But to make a long story short, there are 54 names of homeless people that we have encountered on our Bible study prayer list. No matter how many years go by, their names are still on that list. They're precious to us. And so, you know, if you're out and about, you know, you see someone like that or somebody that needs some help with a cart or something, you know, don't be afraid. Ask the Lord to help you encounter them, and he will. One way that you can do it, you know, it doesn't have to be a homeless person. Anybody. You know, we're supposed to be lights in the world. We're supposed to be that oasis of good news or just kindness and gentleness and helpfulness in this world. And so just, you know, look people in the eye, you know, smile at them. Mother Teresa used to say, you have no idea how much good you give just by smiling at someone. Maybe you're the only person that smiled at them all day long. I smile at complete strangers all the time, and I'm glad to know them and see them, you know. I know in France I got in trouble one time because they think that when you smile a lot at strangers and stuff that you're not quite right in the head. But that didn't stop me. You know, my job is to do what God wants me to do. So when you get a chance, you know, look people in the eye, smile, greet them, say hello, good afternoon, those kind of things, you know, sincerely do those things. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. Just be sincere. All right. But be aware of those who are around you, because that's one of the things, we get busy, we're worried, all those kind of things. Just look around you when you're at work, when you're at the grocery store, when you're at church, wherever you are, you know, look at people, watch what's going on around you. If somebody needs some help, you be the one. You be the one. Okay? I'm going to read another Mother Teresa quote to you, because this is something that blessed me profoundly. She said, we give immediate and effective service to the poorest of the poor, as long as they have no one to help them by. Feeding the hungry, not only with food, but also with the Word of God. Giving drink to the thirsty, not only for water, but for knowledge, peace, truth, justice, and love. clothing the naked, not only with clothes, but also with human dignity, giving shelter to the homeless, not only a shelter made of bricks, but a heart that understands, that covers, that loves, nursing the sick and the dying, not only the body, but also the mind and spirit. Mother Teresa taught me all the different types of poverty, and some of the richest people in the world are spiritually impoverished beyond all imagination. They don't know the Lord. They don't, and I'm not talking about all rich people, please don't take it that way. There's a lot of very rich people who they live for today. They live in the glories of their riches, and they are very spiritually poor. They suffer a lot. Some of them are the loneliest people you could ever know. So, anyway. Basically, I have found that in most cases, the happiest and most fulfilled people in the world are those who, as St. John Paul II used to say, make a sincere gift of themselves to others. I've experienced it myself, and I've seen it countless times. Just ask the volunteers from all faiths and even atheists who used to volunteer with Mother Teresa and her religious sisters, or who still volunteer with the sisters today, like me. Most all of those volunteers return home taking what they experienced and learned and have been applying it to their work, families, churches, services, everything, because of the profound effect it has on us to be lights and comfort for others. Okay? That's where we're made to love and be loved. That's our job. Whether you're a Christian or not, we are designed to do that. And when we don't, when we're selfish and wrapped up in ourselves, we try to think we're happy, but we're not happy like you are when you give yourself away. I'm not saying you don't take care of yourself. Anyway, one last quote from one of my favorite authors, Carol Houselander. Sometimes it may seem to us that there's no purpose in our lives, that going day after day for years to this office or that school or factory is nothing else but waste and weariness. But it may be that God has sent us there because, but for us, Jesus Christ would not be there. If our being there means that Christ is there, that alone makes it worthwhile. That really spoke to my heart. So I just want, you know, everyone can do something to bring the light and beauty of living with Jesus into the world, and the world really needs it. Okay? And if you're not a believer, you can be a light anyway. You can go out and not fall for all this negativity that's going on around here. And the last thing I want to talk about in the last 10 minutes or so is prayer. You may not realize how prayer works. The Lord respects us. He wants us to respond to Him of our own free will. He has taught us through Scripture and through church teachings that prayer is essential. It's important to the world in two ways. First of all, it's an acknowledgement that I am not God. I am not God, so I'm praying to God. So it keeps us humble in the place where we're supposed to be. We are His children. He is our God. He is our Father. The second reason for prayer is that there's a certain grace that's always around in the world, always there. The Lord loves and He supports and He encourages and He pursues us and He wants only the best for us. But the extraordinary grace and the extraordinary help needed in the world comes from prayer. When we pray, it's like a hatch is opened from heaven, and all this beautiful grace comes down and starts working in the world. So, please, please pray, okay? I want to talk to you about the rosary. Don't turn me off if you're not a Catholic Christian, if you're from another denomination or church. Don't turn me off. I want to talk to you as well, all right? Exorcist priests, the ones who actually encounter demons in people, all right? Not an easy job. They say that the rosary is the most powerful spiritual weapon we have because demons can't stand it, and they cry out when somebody brings out a rosary in their presence. Oh, the beads, put them away. Get them out of my presence. They can't stand the rosary, all right? And Our Lady, Mary, the Mother of Jesus, has appeared multiple times over the years, and she's always asking for us to pray the rosary for peace. She says, peace is the number one thing needed in our lives and in the world. And she said, if you pray the rosary, extraordinary grace gets poured out on the world. And if you read, there's multiple books and multiple examples of miracles that have happened because people prayed the rosary. I want to read to you something, and it might shock you, but I'm going to read this to you. Don't turn me off. This is especially for my Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ. The splitting of Western Christianity in the 16th century, often referred to as the Reformation, resulted in the loss of some rich and meaningful traditions. For the Protestant world, one of these traditions that fell into disuse was the praying of the rosary. This deletion from the devotional life was not so much based on any theological arguments against the rosary, but came simply as an emotional reaction against anything supported by the Catholic establishment. Martin Luther prayed the rosary, as did other Protestant leaders, and nowhere in Luther's writing can we find him discouraging its use in devotions. However, as years passed, misconceptions and widening differences in practices among Christian groups contributed to its decline in Protestantism and its unwarranted reputation as being only a Catholic prayer. In reality, the rosary is a prayer that belongs to all Christians. It is a biblical-based practice in the sense that while we pray the rosary, we meditate on the life of Jesus Christ. Rich May, a Marian scholar and writer, sums it up so well when he says, "The rosary is a story, a way of life, and a weapon. It is a story of the history of our salvation, the story of Jesus Christ, recalling the major events in his life, his birth, his childhood, his death, and his glorification. It is a way of life because it provides us with a model to follow. As we pray it daily, we begin to live the gospel message it portrays, to live the life of Christ. It is a weapon because it is effective against sin and a meditation on the Word of God that St. Paul termed the sword of the Spirit." Okay, and then he says over here, despite historical misunderstandings that have developed around it, the rosary is not only a Catholic prayer, but a beautiful devotional that needs to be revived among all Christian groups. Like so many of the Marian celebrations, its object is to bring us closer to the God who comes to us in Jesus Christ. In 1529, Luther wrote, "Mary is the mother of Jesus and the mother of us all. If Christ be ours and all that he has must be ours, then his mother also must be ours." I read that to you because that is from a book by Charles Dixon called A Protestant Pastor Looks at Mary. It was written by a Protestant pastor. And the book is phenomenal. It's really lovely. And it's what I call a bridge between Catholic Christians and our other Christian brothers and sisters. If we all read it, including Catholic Christians, if we all read it, it would help us to understand about Mary and about the prayer, power of the rosary. And right now, folks, in the world, The rosary needs to be prayed, and a lot of prayers need to be prayed for peace. Our Lady has appeared so many times in times of terrible distress in the world. The Lord let her can't come because we needed to hear some things from her, her loving heart. She's never said anything controversial or against Scripture. She always magnifies Jesus Christ and loves her children, and she tells us to pray the rosary for peace. And so, please, please, folks, pray the rosary for peace. If you're Catholic, pray it every single day. If you aren't Catholic, pray it every single day. If you don't know how to, search the web on how to pray the rosary. I don't have time to share it with you, but in the rosary, it's a contemplative kind of prayer. It's a prayer that you meditate on, and that you focus on the different parts of Jesus's life, the events of Jesus's life, but you also are saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And those words are basically, almost every single word in that prayer is from the Bible scriptures. All right, and you may not know it, but at the end of it, you know, pray for us sinners, it used to end there. But in, I can't remember which pandemic, there was a horrible pandemic back in history. And the Pope asked people to pray the rosary for help during that pandemic. And he added on, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, because so many people were perishing. And he knew the power of the rosary. He knew that abundant grace would go out for that. So basically, I just want to encourage you to get the book. It's Charles Dixon is the author, a Protestant pastor looks at Mary, and read it, even if you're Catholic, you know, read it if you're not, and just get a handle on why, what's so special about her and everything, from a, you know, a Protestant perspective. And I just want to... thank you for letting me come into your homes, into your cars, into your space. I love the Lord. I hope that you love him. And if you don't, I pray that you will come to love him, because he is very real. A lot of atheists say, oh, he's not, you know, he's not real. I can't see him. Well, when you trust, when you give yourself to him, you will see him. He makes himself known to you. People have not been believing in him for all this time, for all these years, without having some kind of proof. Some kind of proof. He proves it to you. Trust me, he does. Anyway, I thank you for listening. I pray with all my heart for you. I ask you to pray for me. I ask the Lord to bless you and keep you, let his face shine on you. And go out, be that light, you be the one. Don't let these trying times bring you down. You be the one who prays and gets the grace from the Lord, goes out and says, hey, I care for you, life is good. Let's pray, let's do what we can and make a difference in the world. God bless you, God keep you, and I hope to see you again.